took your first photograph, and did you know at that time when you picked it up, did you have a special feeling, like you knew this was going to be something that you were going to do?
Actually, photography is something you have a feel for. Taking the first picture is sort of exciting, but there's a little phase before that it happens that you have to feel. I remember when I was about 12 years old, is that I had a feel for recording or taking pictures. Even though I didn't have a camera, you sort of, you'd see things in your mind, you had mental images, and you would sort of frame something that you have. But that took a little experience. A very exciting part when I was 14, I had what you call a folding camera. It was a Voigtlander. I remember that very clearly. It was a 3.25 by 4.25 size negative. It was a large negative. It was very thrilling to go ahead. Remember in those days, they didn't have many different cameras. Most of the people would have box cameras, if they had, but very few. So when you had a camera, you were it had to be a special occasion to take a picture. People would wait for a Sunday or relatives. But with my Voigtlander, I took my first roll of pictures and that I had. It was thrilling. But to see the negatives at that time was a little expensive to have prints made. So I was enthused with the idea of taking different pictures, mainly in school. I remember just before I went in the 7th and 8th grade, I would take the pictures, but I wanted to learn how to develop the roll of film. That was the most thrilling part in those days, is making your own prints. They didn't sell. I remember going to a place downtown called Acme Camera, where I bought the chemistry to develop the negatives in a roll of film, read the directions. There were no schools, really, that you would think of would say how to learn how to process. But I asked the questions. So what we did, it was a D72 type chemistry. Did you make the prints and develop your negatives in the same thing, but had no reels. So you get this tray, like a little bowl I had, I mix my chemistry in, and I take the roll, and I have to go roll it up and down. You process so many minutes, you know, that you have. Keep going up and down, you develop it, and do rinse it in a little bowl, and do it the same thing in the hypo, up and down. But I did, I had to make, didn't have an enlarger, but negative was large enough that I made contact prints. So I made my own contact printer. I took a piece of glass, a 5x7 piece of glass that I had. I cut the negatives, and I'd lay it on the glass, lay it down, put the glass on top and the paper even, and you expose it and develop in a little tray and make little prints, contact prints. As time would go, you get a little bit more exciting in making the prints, because you would do them there rapidly yourself, and most of the people were excited that you would get your prints done. I think I remember in those days, when there was only one type of company that was processing here in the Detroit area. It was called Height Photo. They're not in business anymore. They just go Height Overnight. But anyway, we took more or less pictures in school, things around and that end, you know, stuff that just taking the experience. Until you got to know a little bit more about photography. Then, when you got enough of the money that you'd have, when I enrolled in high school, I still used the same camera. So in high school, I took pictures and made contact prints. When I entered college, then I bought myself my first large camera. It was a 4x5 speed graphic camera. It was a Model C, the early type model. And that was exciting, because you have to put your holder in, pull your slide out, one picture at a time, put your slide back, flip your holder over, put it back in. But that was very good experience, and using a speed graphic, because that's what normally you'd have to use. In my second year in college, I got sort of a little, little assignments from Associated Press, which was Wide World also. I covered sports for them. on a freelance basis, you know, on the weekends or stuff was in school. And I covered whatever sports they wanted, track meets, football games, and the weekends. And that helped a little bit working for AP on the freelance basis, you know, they have. And it worked very well. The person I worked there at the time was a person, Dale Stafford, who was the manager of Associated Press.
The pictures become very good. Besides that, I was getting some outside assignments from other publications,
and I did a couple magazine jobs, small magazines, not large, but it was very exciting, very good. Finally, I got a job representing them here in Detroit in New York called Globe Photos. I represented them here. That was about my third year in college. And Globe Photos was, they would want the speed graphic stuff, 4 or 5 negatives. They want the large negatives. Mainly what they did with them, I'd either have the negatives process or send them undeveloped negatives. But normally I developed my own 4x5s, which I could develop them very well. And they also make a print if I had to. They were very good. I'd get about one assignment a week from them, and that wasn't too bad. My biggest assignment was a Navy recruiting here in Detroit. It was a large recruiting area, and they wanted to do a big magazine spread on it. So we went down in the recruiting office, the Navy, the people, how they got into the Navy, a whole series of pictures on them in the Navy. The people there, this is how I got involved to get into the Navy. So last year at graduation, I still was 4F for the Army. We're talking about World War II. So when the fellow in the Navy says, you know, we have an opening in the Navy. We'd like to have you join the Navy. We'll put you in, give you a good rate for starting. We'll start you off as a first-class photographer's mate, first-class petty officer. See, that was pretty good. You know, it says you go to Gros Isle. So I enlisted in the Navy. That was 1941. In June. So I enlisted in the Navy and I went to Gros Isle. Of course, going to Gros Isle is a little experience I had. I built a lab at Gros Isle, started a photographic thing out there at the Gros Isle Naval Air Station. Worked out very well. They were training pilots. Most of them came from England. They were training. By the time I got through, they promoted me to a chief photographer's mate. I became chief petty officer in the Navy. I stayed there at Gros Isle for about, I left there in September of 1942 for Norfolk, Virginia. There we prepared for landing in North Africa. So I was assigned in a unit to go over to North Africa. And that worked pretty well. We got to North Africa. There was a place called Port Leoti. In Port Leoti, we did most of the photographing the Moroccan sea frontier and the Mediterranean area. We covered the invasion of southern France, the occupation of Rome. We stayed there in Fleet Air Wing 7, it was. Then from there I went to Fleet Air Wing 15, which was in Dunkswell, England. There we photographed the crossing of the Rhine until after VE Day. I came back right after VE Day, and from VE Day, I was supposed to have 30 days leave because I didn't have leave, but they called me back in 15 days. I went back to Norfolk, Virginia, went there, ended up in Pearl Harbor. Then Pearl Harbor, I went to Japan, and I ended my career at a signing in Missouri at the peace treaty. My job was to make sure I got Admiral Nimitz and all the Navy people signing a peace treaty. Now, the very experience when I got back, I want to go see my good friend Dale Stafford at Associated Press. Dale Stafford is a guy I freelance with because I used to communicate with him. So I went to the AP office. I asked for Dale Stafford. He said, oh, no, he's not here anymore. Oh, he isn't? No, he says, at the Free Press. He says, he's managing editor of the Detroit Free Press. So I walked over. It was a block and a half away. See Dale Stafford. Yeah. I was still having, I think I was still wearing my uniform, just to say hello to him and everything else. And he says, what are you doing? Well, I said, I got discharged from the Navy. I got married last month, and I'm here just to say hello. And I had an offer to Chicago Tribune, to go to Chicago Tribune. And I said, probably in about a month or so, I'll probably go to Chicago Tribune because I've been offered a job there.
He said, like the dickens you are, you're going to work for me right now.
So he says, you're working for the Free Press. So knowing Dale Stafford, that's how I started the Free Press. Started the Free Press in March of 1946. And I stayed there until that time. There was many assignments that we covered. I started at the Free Press. I made their lab. We converted the lab into a more of a modern situation what we had. They had a little dark room. I made various different dark rooms, workstations that we had. And as the years went on, I was made chief photographer at the Detroit Free Press. I had the authority to do different changes. In 1955, we were the first newspaper to get rid of all the 4x5 speed graphics. Went to 35 millimeter cameras in 1955. We were the first newspaper to go fully total 35 millimeter because the advantage that came back, the Nikon came with the SLR camera, single lens reflex, and it was a job to start off the cameras. You couldn't do it a little at a time, so what I did, I took rid of them all at once. This is the way you do it. We had different lenses, which was easier to cover sports. We had the 28 big Bertha that carry around all these cameras. With the 35 millimeter, with the 300 and 500, the lens is a lot easier sports to cover sports that way. So we started that way, and many newspapers came over to our area to see how we handled 35 millimeter. I remember clearly the New York Times came over. Well, how are you handling 35 millimeters? What do you do? So they spent about 3-4 days there to see how we handle our 35. As time went on, many different changes would happen. We started in 1966. I started negative color. There's a way back to negative color. No newspapers actually were dealing with negative color. Bob Gilta, who was the director of photography at National Geographic, still uses the picture that I took in negative color around on page one of the Free Press. First time anything was made to run color in a newspaper from negative color. So that still wasn't the idea, negative color. We're just shooting color instead of transparencies. We made the prints and we used it that way to get it into the paper. But as we went along, we had new editors that came into Free Press. Was Dave Lawrence in 1979, became the executive editor of Free Press. So I approached him and I told him all about negative color. We need a lab, do this. We could do good things, make pictures of size instead of running each picture small. We could take and make a whole layout of a whole page and make one scan, making prints of size negative color.
Let's do it.
So he said, so we went around and we had the first newspaper to go ahead totally to use negative color, making prints the size. If you had a whole page pictures, what you do is make the prints to the size. They fit, they lay them on a page, then you scan the whole page. Before they were scanning each individual photograph, which resulted in a lot of expense, a lot of masking, a lot of doing things, placing each one on a page. You get everything, one would be in register, one out of register. The whole page was easier for them to register the photographs because he had a whole page.
That really exploded
when we started using the industry to negative color. Became the chairman of the color workshop for the National Press Photographer Association and had our first big seminar in 1980, which all the newspapers in the country came over to see how we were doing negative color. I started the Associated Press and the International News Photos on negative color. They started in 1984, AP and UPI, United Press International, started Reuters, started to use negative color. You had black and white. By 1986, they dropped black and white and was using everything negative color. All the wire services adapted to negative color, which was the best way to go, a C41 processing. This was quite an achievement that I thought was very good. Today, all newspapers and wire services throughout the world use negative color. It's a universal processing. You can process your film with C41 anywhere in the world. Even today, the amateurs who use negative color, like Kodakolor Gold and the rest, they process C41. You can go in any place and do it. It is quite an accomplishment in the lab. Today, negative color is used automatically at our paper and every other newspaper, the News, Free Press, and all of them, the wire services, use negative color. They scan their negative color into the computers and it goes into the paper. But you got to have the negative. The electronic camera that we use is only used for breaking news events, period. And that's what we'd have. So we could go on from there.
Okay, well, that was great. You gave a lot of information there. I'm going to go back a little bit, skip back a little bit. Do you remember the first photograph that was ever published? Do you still have it? And who was it for? I mean, the first one that you would consider the start, you know, I mean, that was...
You see, starting at the newspaper, when I started in 46, don't forget, they have people who worked there all the while. In those days, a new person coming in was not accepted as nice as you would as they do today. They looked down on them, you know. You had to take all the routine type of assignments, like the women's assignments, the food assignments. This is, they start you off doing these things. So I liked those. I took the routine assignments, and I made something good out of them. That shows your talent in doing it. That's especially in features. This is where a photographer's work is recognized in his feature work. Not in a spot news, not in a sports, because those things you shoot as it happens. But in a feature work, you do your own creativity, your own composition, you're known by the style of your work. Today, if I have a photograph taken a feature work, a person will recognize your work, the professionals will. I do. So I took all the feature assignments. Everything that came around, I did them. All the junk assignments, you call them. Okay, I'll take it, I'll do it. Came out great. Pictures were used in large in the paper. I used multiple lighting, and a lot of times, because the film wasn't that fast, I began winning prizes in the feature work, which no one ever did before. So the Dale Stafford at that time came in. He said, well, you know, you're doing quite well. And so he put me in there. Then I became chief authority of Free Press in 1952. I had the authority to do a lot of different things that I wanted to do. But this is how it started off. Now, the first photograph that I took were just street scenes that I had taken when I began with the Voigtlander. You're talking one that's published in a paper. Yes. One was published in the paper, I remember very well, my first picture. It's a picture taken at a dance contest. I think it was either at the old Greystone Ballroom, the Simon and Nighttime. They were having some type of a dance contest. And no one wanted to cover this, so I went out there and I did it. And it was my first assignment they gave me. So here, go out there. Well, of course, being in Detroit, I knew where the ballroom was and everything else. Picture used quite large. It was used, at that time, four columns. And I remember my second photograph was used a whole, almost a half a back page, was at the Boy Scouts receiving their awards. You know, normally you get the picture together. So I composed the Boy Scouts with a salute, people in the background giving the awards, and the Boy Scout who received his medal. And that was a picture that was used quite large into the paper. meantime, when you start doing good work like this, different departments in the paper want you to cover their type of assignment. You know, so I'm telling Smita, can he go on this one? So they put their name on the assignment, so I go out and cover them. My first big assignment for the Free Press was covering the Democratic Republican Convention in 1952. Bruce Campbell, at the time, was the city editor, so I want you to go to Chicago. We never covered a convention before locally. So it was new for me. So I went there and covered that one for them. And from that time, different assignments. But your first pictures do stay with you. You remember them very well. But you have to, every picture you take, you see, you must realize, have to have your quality. Now, like today, every assignment, and after you had done a lot of these different assignments, say about like in the 60s, every time you would get an assignment, you'd have to live up to your type of work. You can't say, oh, I'll fluff off an assignment. You have to keep, be consistent. See, what makes a good photographer is not a person, like I say, one thing I have my doubts. A fellow who isn't a good photographer, just as an example, runs into a good news picture, happens to press a button and get somebody jumping out of a bridge coming down. Good news picture, page one. He wins a Pulitzer Prize. This is the doubt. What Pulitzer Prize are they giving to, mostly to news content? Now they have a feature category. But that doesn't make the photographer a great photographer. He's not consistent. He just happened to be in a spot at the right time, got a picture, and that made him get a Pulitzer Prize. Now, I know a lot of Pulitzer Prize photographers aren't good technicians, aren't even good photographers, but the majority of them are. I mean, it's a good honor that they have. But a good photojournalist is consistent in all types of assignment he shoots. He produces good photographs, not every now and then. That was what makes a good photographer, being consistent.
Okay, well, that's very good.
One thing before you go, I think you just push your glasses just back a little bit. Yeah, closer to your eye. You want to just keep the back of the frames
up?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Higher?
You can bring them down just a little bit. There you go, okay. That's good.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
They're okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, talking about, like, your pictures downstairs that I was looking at, I know I've I asked you this, but what would be maybe your favorite picture, or, I mean, if you even have one, maybe you don't even have one, but maybe one that you look at and say, now, that's a really good picture. I'm really proud of that.
Let me, you know, people ask me that question quite a bit. What is your favorite photograph? No. A photographer who is consistent in taking pictures, every picture he takes, he considers a good photograph he does. As his favorite, he'd say, well, they're all his favorite. You have to put it this way. What was your greatest accomplishment, not the photography, in photojournalism? Now, your accomplishment means that all the pictures you see here in the Walter Ruther Library downstairs are all my favorite photographs. But there's a series that you have accomplished something more than someone else has never done before. I consider my greatest accomplishment the story I did on Pope John the 23rd. After he was elected, I was the first photographer ever to take pictures of Pope John in his private study. He didn't, no one else ever took any pictures of him candidly that have, only on the outside that they have. I was invited in just for about, I knew his secretary, Lars Capovilla, was invited in for about a minute. He says, they're going to pose Manzu as a world-famous sculptor who was making a bust of Pope John the 23rd. He says, just before he comes in, you know, the Pope doesn't grant audiences to photographers. But before Manzo comes in, you could come in, don't talk, don't say anything to the Pope, go in there and take a picture and leave. Because moms would come in. I said, that's fine. So I decided what cameras to take. That was the key thing. That's the success of the thing. So I took two cameras. I put black and white in one. At that time, it was transparency film. And I put color in the other camera. Two cameras that I wanted. The lens that I had a 50 millimeter one and 35 millimeter in the other. That's all. Two lenses. No flash, no nothing. I had 400 speed film, and I says, if I could see them, I'll probably be able to get pictures of them. Because with the flash, I didn't want flash on the camera. It didn't look good for me for that. I guess a gamble. If he was doing a sculpture, Pope John, he must have had some kind of light. He's not going to be doing it in the dark, so you figure that out. So I thought that was two cameras. So I got into the Apostolic Palace, walked into all these different ante rooms and things in that manner. He said, okay, the Pope's ready. So I walked in, followed the rules, not to talk, take your pictures, get out. So I walked in there, Pope John was standing by his desk. It's like the picture you have downstairs, it's in the exhibit. He's standing there, I walked to him about, I'd say, 4 feet, 5 feet in front of him, picked up the camera, started clicking away. The light was not bad, it was good. I think I shot about a 60th of a second. Bang, you're just clicking away. That not a motor drive, just individual frame pictures so it don't make the noise. Then I picked up some color, started shooting with the other camera. About a minute went by, and I got the pictures. The Pope turned to his secretary and said, since this was not an official audience, nobody speak French, but he spoke in Italian to the secretary. He said, when is this photographer going to start taking pictures? Well, I understood what he says because I understood Italian. And, you know, I turned to the secretary and says, you know, I'm all done. I took my pictures. I'm ready to go. He said, the Pope thinks he didn't take any pictures. I said, did. Well, what are you going to do? Well, a rule came that I wasn't to talk to him. So I said, I have to do it. I picked up the camera. I explained to him. I used the existing light, shot your pictures, shot some in color, shot some in black and white. I'm all done. I took my pictures. He says, I like pictures like that. Real casually. Now, he didn't know who I was. He wanted to know my name. So I told him my name was Tony Spina. Oh, he said, that's an Italian name. I said, well, yeah, but I was born in Detroit. And he said, yeah, where are you from? And we kept talking. Knock came on a door that was Manzu carrying a partially built bust of Pope John. He came in there, walked in there, stood on a pedestal, and I looked and I turned to Capovilla. The Pope got up, he went like this, I stay. So I talked to Capovilla, and the Pope sat on the little throne. Manzu started working. He took this, could I take pictures of this? So the Pope said, stay, stay. So I walked up casually, Rio starts taking pictures. He smiled, or he knew he was good. And I started taking pictures, and I went behind Manzu, started pictures of Manzu doing it. Now this is the first time a picture has ever been taken of a Pope posing for a sculptor. See? So 10 minutes were up. Manzu was sweating, picked up his bust, and he left. Well, I'm still in there. So we start talking to the Pope. One thing I knew, I wasn't going to say, listen, you all, this, I'm sorry, I took too much of your time, I'm leaving. No. If he keeps talking, I keep talking, I stay to my assignment. But at the same time, taking pictures. This was quite a historic thing. While we kept talking, different pictures, then a while went back, he was at his desk. You know, by the center had a little desk. And I thought it was going to be over, so I bought some rosaries from the nuns that were there downstairs because I was going back to the United States, and it was wrapped. I picked it up, and I said to Capovilla, I said, do you think that the Pope could bless these rosaries for me? Yeah, sure. I took out this newspaper string tied around it in this big ornate room, you know, in his library. I start to unfumble, take the string up. It's a nice little case. He says, "The Pope, what are you doing?" I said, "I got to take this paper off." He says, "The Pope blesses everything, wrapped around the wrap. Get it." So it took place. Now, time elapsed still that we have been shooting all these pictures. I think over an hour and 45 minutes had gone by that I've been taking pictures. I knew when the thing ended. The Pope went back to his desk. I followed him, and he gave me this large medallion. He said, "This is for you. You can have it." I thanked him very much. He said, "Oh, well, that's all right. I gave one to Eisenhower last month." So he's humble, you know how he talked. He and Capovilla then left. Now I'm in this big room. Now it's about 5:30. Vatican, no one's there. 5:30. I'm waiting. Someone to come and say, "Take you out," because I didn't know my way going out, you know, because I first time I've ever been in all these different ante rooms. I waited. I'd stay there 10 minutes, 15. Nobody came. So I walked through the ante door. I says, "Anybody here?" No sound. Walked around the other room. I walked his room where he gives his broadcast.